Hello and welcome to The Property Exchange, your guide to the latest news, views and opinions in residential property, with Winkworth, with you every step of the way in the property market. Your host is writer and commentator Anne Ashworth.
Hello and welcome to the Property Exchange podcast. This time, the changing profile of who's now buying in the property market, with a particular focus on first-time buyers. First-time buyers are out and about in London trying to beat the stamp duty deadline. Many are house hunting with a sizeable loan from the bank of mum and dad. Parents seem to be loosening the purse strings in response to autumn budget changes that bring pensions into the scope of inheritance tax. They're giving money now to their children rather than handing it over to the tax man. Meanwhile, other parents are downsizing to free up some cash for their offspring who want to escape ever-rising rents. But buy-to-let investors are now thin on the ground. So what does all this mean for the market? Even with a subsidy from the Bank of Mum and Dad, BOMAD as it's known by some, these first-time buyers are priced out of parts of London that were, relatively, affordable just a few years ago. In this episode, we'll be taking a closer look at the changing profile of who's buying and where, particularly some of the locations where these new first-time buyers are headed, such as Tooting in South London. With me to explore these trends are Dominic Agace, Chief Executive of Winkworth, and Nikki Upton, Head of Sales at Winkworth Tooting. Welcome to you both. And over to you first, Dominic. There's a changing mix of people who are out there looking for properties at the moment. Can you fill us in on what's actually happening out there?
Yeah, I think what you've seen is that the property market's changed over sort of many decade now, and really the people out there are first and foremost needs-based young professionals or families looking to move for life moments, really. So that's, we've left behind the buy-to-let investor due to taxation and regulation changes. They're few and far between in London in particular. And equally, the old property entrepreneur. So, the sort of buy the sort of one or two bed flat and do it up and sell it within a sort of year or two has also left us. So we're in a sort of needs-based market these days. And within that, I think you're seeing, we started the year fairly briskly, but with wages growing and the cost of mortgages coming down, we're seeing people take that moment to buy properties, in particular, first-time buyers who have been gaining on property prices as property prices have been fairly static whilst their wages have grown.
So buy-to-let investors, will they ever come back?
It would take something significant. I mean, it will help when the cost of mortgages reduce, which as they were expected to do over the year or two. But I think it's a consolidated market. We will always have buy-to-let investors, but they will be people who are doing it without much debt. That has been the change of the effect of regulation and taxation.
It's all about first-time buyers, but what kind of first-time buyers? Have they mostly got a loan from the bank of mum and dad, or have some managed to get together a deposit by themselves?
I think the bank of mum and dad is essential, really, across all London markets. When you speak to our offices, it's out in force and perhaps more so than ever, as, budget changes mean that with pensions perhaps coming into the taxation, being taxed, then, people are keen to pass that money down to their children quicker. So we're seeing more activity on that front. I mean, of course, that is not the sole source of activity, and people have been busy saving deposits and looking to buy their properties perhaps with friends or with partners or on their own as well. And I think people ultimately, with a very difficult rentals market in terms of selection of properties available because they're less than they used to be in the prices of rents, people are very keen to be able to get to buy their own property and put the pictures and the holes in the walls that they want to do so. So you're seeing both of those across the different markets. London, albeit, you know, the bank of mum and dad may help give an advantage in the smarter postcodes.
It's evident the Bank of Mum and Dad is open for business in London, given the changes that will bring pensions within the inheritance tax net. Are your offices in outer London benefiting most from this trend, or are there some more luxy spots in the inner city?
I think it's across the board. I think we've been reporting it in our offices from Notting Hill to Kennington to Tooting to Crystal Palace. I think everywhere they're a big feature of the market, and that's accelerated after the Labour budget last year.
So Kennington and Mayfair?
Yes, quite the combo. I think it just shows, isn't it? They are a pillar of the property market, and you know, because of the changes to pensions and being able to hand those down to children, you know, it's only encouraged them to ship that money down a bit earlier.
This is the first time for almost a decade that we haven't seen any kind of government subsidy for first-time buyers. Do you think that the government will need to relent on this and introduce some son of help to buy, say?
Yeah, I do. I mean, it was talked about in the manifesto in the build-up to the election, but it's been very quiet since then. They're very keen to build houses, which is fantastic. And, you know, there's a big focus on planning and things we've talked about in this podcast before. But, you know, that is the one part of it. The other part is demand. And, you know, there are demand for these houses to be the right type of properties to be built by the developers. And Help to Buy was a great way of helping first-time buyers get on the ladder and ensuring that developers focus their house building on the right products for those first-time buyers, so there was supply for those that needed it. So I think it has been missed, as otherwise what is the incentive to build for the first-time buyer, perhaps over a higher margin, larger house?
When you were buying your first house, what were you looking for, and how does that differ from what people are looking for nowadays?
So my first flat was a studio flat on Holland Park Avenue, which was £160,000, and required a £24,000 deposit, I should say. So, you know, that's very different, I suppose. That was a doer upper that I sort of, I mean, it wasn't, see, there wasn't much to do up. It was in a block, you know, so I just had to sort of paint it and tidy it up, and sold it a couple of years later for a profit, which then facilitated a bigger deposit to buy a place with my brother. I then bought a place with my brother, and sort of on the ladder we went. So that was the traditional route. You know, things have changed since then. You know, the cost of doing places up has gone up, and the cost of these properties gone up. So people are now, whereas that was, you know, I would say that's a rarity in Holland Park, but, you know, people were looking certainly in sort of Shepherd's Bush amongst my generation when we started. You know, now that those markets are, you know, as I said, Crystal Palace, really.
Restaurants are very, very important for people when they're looking for a first-time buyer location.
Yes, I think there was I did hear once a theory of following the Australians to as a property investment strategy, which was funny, because the view was you know, Australians would come to an area and they would spend their disposable money, and then therefore you would have better cafes and bars and restaurants, and therefore the place gentrifies and becomes more appealing and on it goes. So that was one theory, but no, I think they are, that's what people are looking for. And the interesting thing about London at the moment is that the cost is not only a homeowner problem, it's a business problem. You know, for your local butcher, as we've discussed, or your restaurateur or your bar, you know, the experimental creatives are looking further afield than they were when I came to London, because, you know, the costs are so significant to set up in central London. So these areas are vibrant markets with creative scenes that are sort of self-fulfilling hotspots, really.
So look for the restaurants.
I think so. I think that's what you want to do when you come to a town. You know, you want to live with your friends, and you want to go to the bars and the restaurants and be part of, you know, everything the bright lights bring. That's why you've come to a city. So I think it's, if you've got those things, then buyers will follow.
And that ideal location can now be just on the train, not necessarily on the tube.
Yeah, I think people have established how quickly trains get into central London. Again, we look at our office and it's essential that we're by, you know, Charing Cross and Waterloo. And you know, because the commute of the people who work in our company is, it's not the tube commute in the majority. It's on the trains. And so being by a major train station is important. And previously that wasn't the case.
A lot of people still left behind in rented accommodation. What's your prediction on what's going to be happening in rents in London this year?
It's interesting because there seem to be no end to the increases because there is a shortage of supply and we're not seeing new buy-to-let investors. So as you know, people sell off or age or choose other things and sell, they're not being replaced, and that is a decline. So people are now renting rooms, not flats. And people are trying to avoid entering the rental market. So they're staying in with their parents for longer. There are lots of things that have adjusted to try and make their pound go more. I mean, you know, some are renting a room can cost, you know, £1,500 a month in a zone two of London. Again, 20 years ago, you might have paid, you know, £600 a month to rent with your friends in a flat. So it has all changed. I think where does that go at the moment? The result of that is that rental prices aren't increasing as much anymore because they've basically bounced off affordability. And now you're looking at people choosing either to stay at home longer or no longer coming to London because it is just too expensive.
Thanks, Dominic, for that tour of the market as it is now. And here in our studio in Fitzrovia, we're now going over to Nikki, who's going to tell us all about that first-time buyer hotspot, Tooting. For those who don't know where it is, what it has to offer, give us a picture.
So Tooting is kind of sandwiched in that pocket of Balham, Wandsworth, Earlsfield, Streatham. You've got massive commons, you've got independent eateries, you've got coffee shops. It's vibrant. You also have the Tooting Market, so you've got the kind of gritty part of it that still remains, but also a very good community, which is why a lot of people feel that it's a good place to be at the moment.
Best pizza in London, so I'm told.
Yes, I think there's a lot of best about Tooting Eatery, certainly. What you do also have is phenomenal transport links. So you have the train, you have also the underground, you also have the buses. So everywhere is commutable for you to get to.
The cost of admission to all this then?
Wow, it's
first time buyer flat. Say I was looking and I had some money from the bank of mum and dad. What would be the cost of a two-bedroom flat fairly close to one of the tube stations, on a nice-ish road, and not too far from the common?
So, BOMAD, the Bank of Mum and Dad, is very much our kind of market. They give their kids, obviously, a great start-up, but if you're looking for a kind of average two-bed in around those pockets, you're probably 500,000 to 600,000. You could probably pick up something more the late kind of 475, 485, depending on where, you know, if you wanted that curb appeal.
I'm curious to know if you find anybody coming into your office who's actually scraped together the deposit themselves.
You get a small percentage, certainly, because I think there is that slight old school of train of thought where people, a certain kind of generation, still save. And, you know, the parents top up that deposit, which obviously enables them to buy better.
If you can't stretch to Tooting, where would you head? Mitcham, say?
Mitcham. I do so many valuations in Mitcham. I mean, I'm kind of like a local hero there. I love it. It's wonderful. It's a really up-and-coming area. It doesn't have the postcode. It doesn't have the curb appeal of the SW17 at CR4. And you'd be amazed. There's one road that kind of differentiates that. And people will not look at that road. But once you introduce them to that, you've got phenomenal houses. You've got a real pocket that you can invest in now and make your money.
You heard it here first, the new hotspot, Mitcham. So a two-bedroom flat in Mitcham?
So a two-bedroom flat could be anything 400 to 450.
As much as that?
I mean, there are certain roads in Mitcham that are more tasteful than others. But then if you look on the flip side, you could buy a three-bed house for kind of 750 or get a rec, a kind of probate for 550, 600.
And I'm assuming it's got the bakeries, the restaurants opening in Mitcham. Are they heading there?
Slowly, slowly. Because you've got Firsdown, which is just before Mitcham, and that back in the day, nobody really kind of understood it. They have brilliant schools. They've now got a community. They've got a kind of main stretch that has brilliant. There's a butcher, there's a bakery, there's, I think, a pizzeria opening. But it gives people the ability to walk to places and actually pick up, you know, local kind of produce.
I'm hearing all this and I'm a first-time buyer and I'm thinking, right, Tooting or Mitcham, if I can't quite stretch to Tooting, would I be able to beat the stamp duty deadline at this stage?
I think, no. I think gone is that period of time, because a lot of properties came to the market probably the back end of January. So really people started their search and there was a lot of dead wood sat on the market. So if you were smart, fine, you could have picked up something and then managed to get in within that stamp duty. But in the grand scheme of things, it's not like what we had a couple of years ago. You know, the benefit to a buyer right now is not as huge as what it was for the stamp duty holiday.
Do you think that some buyers will start asking for price discounts once the stamp duty deadline is passed?
It's hard because first-time buyers, you know, they are very tricky in any case because, you know, every penny counts. So the negotiations are pretty much quite difficult at the start because they're spending all the money that they have. And if there is a discount that's been agreed at the start, ideally we say sold a scene, you know, there's no mucking around. But I guess time will tell. But certainly we have a handful of sales that are going through that I'm confident will go through, but if they don't, there hasn't been any kind of chirping about, oh, we need to reduce the price.
Are there any signs that people who are first-time buyers are looking for a house rather than a flat?
Well, I think back in the day, you know, it's that old school, you bought a flat, then, you know, life evolves and then you kind of go to that mid purchase of the, you know, the kind of 3 to 5 year, let's say, and then you buy the big house. But because of the way the cost of living and people's lifestyle, if you can buy a house, ideally you would, because especially in Tooting, you'd rent out two of the other rooms, let's say a three bed. Most of those go for between £1,000 and £1,200, you know, a month for a room. So that pays for any kind of, you know, extra mortgage that you need to get covered. So ideally, yes, you know, if you can, why would you not buy a house?
If you were trying rather than buying in Tooting, what would be your monthly rent on, say, a two-bedroom flat?
So I know that they're probably around £222 per month. I mean, a ground floor in the summer, £1,800 to £1,900.
So it's an expensive place to rent.
Very.
And rents in Mitcham?
They're not that far behind, actually. They're not, because you get more for your money because they're bigger properties. Let's say you get a 3-4 bedroom house, but essentially, you know, the demand is there. So once demand is there, prices hike up.
I think a lot of listeners are going to be quite amazed by that. Now, we've heard all about Dominic's first time buyer flat, the fixer-upper that he did up and managed to move up the ladder. And I want to take you back to your first buy. Where was it? Did you have to do some work? Do you still miss the place? Tell us all about it.
So my parents always said to me, buy the worst house on the best road and make sure you have a really colourful door. So whatever happens. And I bought at a real, I would say, what I thought was up and coming at the time in the depths of Wandsworth. And it was right next to a main road. It wasn't very exciting at all. It did need some work to it. But I walked in and I fell in love with it and realised that, yes, over a period of time, hopefully it would grow. And you could have done the loft to it. But at that point, I think I just wanted to be on the property ladder. And I was lucky enough to get onto that property ladder. On the basis that I would eventually do works, but I sold it and I was very lucky. It was at the right time.
And do you feel a whiff of nostalgia as you pass it now?
No, because I do this every day. So, you know, I go into different houses and flats. I think, oh, I'd like to buy that. But, you know, it doesn't work like that.
All the secrets from the property market here. Okay, Dominic, that first-time buyer flat of yours in Holland Park Avenue, what did you do in the way of work? Are you a DIY guy?
Yeah, no, it took me quite a while to do it, if I remember rightly. I think, luckily, it was a studio, and so I think probably the market helped me as much as my DIY skills did, really. It was a bit of a decorate, and 18 months later, in those days, things were worth more than when you bought them. So I was very lucky in that regard.
A couple of trips to B&Q and you were quids in. Yeah. Very, very different market then. Right, that's just about it. Dominic and Nikki, thanks so much for joining us for this episode of The Property Exchange. Thank you for your insights. Do subscribe and join us for next month's podcast.
This has been the Property Exchange podcast. For more information, go to winkworth.co.uk or find us on Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. The producer was Tom Maddox. For more episodes, make sure to subscribe to your favourite podcast provider.